Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
That's right. The Drive is live. I love watching Reggie as we get to the 12:04 to 35 mark.
I'm always good raw dog in the Drive.
And every day
it's a little fidgety.
I sit there and I think, am I going to be an a-hole and really run him through this? Because I want to see if I can get him. Because he's trying to get everybody together so he can get that in for a second. And he needs about 4 to 7 seconds. And I just think every day, do I want to? And you know what, Clint, man, John, I'm just thinking this and just kind of running right through that 205 part.
Yeah.
I just kind of want to do this to him sometimes.
Just be a little bit, push it to the line.
Yeah, just push it.
Well, why not? I didn't know the 205 was the mark. Hell, I thought we could just, as long as we got D&M Auto leasing in, we can just keep breaking bread.
Yeah,
got
to get that thing in within. Attack that ass. 5 minutes of the top of the hour, either way. Get in there at 157. To be honest with you, they could do that right before we come on, and they'd be good. But no, I love it. I look up there and I look at 204, and I look at Reggie, and I see Reggie looking at him, looking at the clock, looking at everything. I'm like, oh, let's get this. By the way, welcome in. It is The Drive. You see Clint there stretching, and you see Tyler there on
sexual,
YouTube.
Sexual man.
What is the sexual? What the hell? By the way. Referencing to the cussing I did yesterday, we found out what happened to Lance. This is Lance McCullers Jr., who around this time, Tyler parachuted in with the breaking news of him being scratched from his start last night and being placed on the IL with a right foot strain, and this is
his
the
foot
latest.
Is white too.
White too. Yep. Lance McCullers Jr. Sprained his right foot. Came after what manager Joe Espada described as a, well, believe it, folks, a freak accident on Saturday in the weight room. The sprain is above McCullers' big toe. Espada hopes it will only require the 15 days.
It's not ideal.
Mm.
By the way, did you put an S on that, Junior?
Yeah, I did. I did. It has an S on it. It's what I read.
McCullers.
It does for some reason.
That's possession. It's his sprained right foot.
Yeah, Lance McCullers Jr.'s sprained right foot. Yeah, I get to say that.
Ron Burgundy over here.
Yeah, I get to say it. That is right, actually. When I go into the
that
sprained
is correct, right
foot. Yeah. A freak.
Yeah, it is.
Yes, it is. If I'm
McCullers
describing
Juniors,
his
he's
right
talking about his
Lance McCullers
foot, like
Juniors
or Tyler's.
Maybe it was just the way you said
Lance
it.
McCullers,
sorry,
Lance McCullers Juniors sprained right foot.
Got you. I got
it's
you.
The S on McCullers that's really throwing that thing off. There's a lot of S's
and
in
juniors.
There.
Yeah, we're finishing with a lot.
My fault.
Lance's McCullers Juniors sprained right.
Yes.
Foot.
So if you just said Lance Juniors sprained foot, you'd be all right.
It would have sounded. I was all right. It would have just sounded.
Yes.
It would have
yes,
sounded.
Yes.
What the hell happened in this? What is going on? Didn't this absolutely, I believe this, and I hope I'm wrong when I say this, this, I think the weight room is what ruined Chaz McCormick's career. Did Chaz McCormick
strain something in his back or something?
Whoa, dude.
It's over.
His career?
It might be, man. I'm just saying, I don't.
Chill.
I'm chill. You think Chaz is ever going to get back to that Chaz from a couple of years ago?
I think them probably running Dusty off. I think them running Dusty off and quitting that banana pudding and having a little love for Chaz really ruined it. The weight room was
he
good.
Hurt
the,
his back.
The back
right?
strain in the weight room really put a net. Seemed like it put a nail in the coffin, boys.
Now we didn't know it at the time, but right now we're looking at it. What in the world happened Saturday?
The interesting thing about
and
this
he made
is
the trip,
I want to say like okay there was. Like, hey, man, he was doing some box jumps or something or maybe he was doing some jump rope and he hit the edge of a mat and kind of rolled his ankle or something. But those kind of things would not be considered freak accidents. Like, a freak accident is like somebody else was working out and dropped a plate on his toe or something.
Yeah, and that's where it says the sprain of the right foot is above the right big toe.
Or like if you're playing catch, like out in the outfield while another team's having bad practice.
Somebody hits a 109 exit velo off your toe.
That's freak accident, too.
That's a freak accident.
Sorry, Jerry.
I think he dropped a plate on his toe.
That's what I would. Dropping a plate on a toe, that resulted to a sprain?
Was he working out in open-toed flip-flops or what? That wouldn't surprise me.
Does that result in a sprain?
You're 45. You drop that joint on your toe. You're lucky you don't.
I think I could see a break or a. Yes.
I don't know.
Well,
man.
It's not like we know anyway with this medical staff.
That's a good point. What would he be doing in a weight room the day of a game that he's starting?
They said it happened Saturday, right? So he was supposed to start Monday.
Oh, so they knew about it. They just didn't know how bad it was. So that makes a little more sense. So they took 2 days to be like, what's going on with this big toe? And they realized he can't even pitch. So
saw the imaging.
The imaging. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
What is going on with these guys? I have never in my life.
What is going on?
Seen anything like this? I mean, it's like you can't pitch on the mound. You can't go to the weight room here. You can't wake up.
Our pets' heads are falling off.
I mean, I think Jordan tore up a knee running out of the box once.
Jordan.
You can't go to the World Baseball Classic.
Astros ain't loyal.
I mean, they can't do anything without getting hurt. They've got 12 guys on the injured list, it seems like. Jesus.
And somehow, atop the AL West, 10 games over 500.
It's all unexplainable.
It's the Twilight Zone.
It's the damnedest thing. Well, that is the latest there. Freak accident. I wish whoever that reporter was who was pushing the Red Sox player, I'd like for that person to come and push Joe Espada next time they've got questions. Joe, I need to know what this freak accident was.
No.
Can you I bet you Lance tells us.
I think Lance would tell us.
I mean, unless it's something. Unless they're lying and it's just something to cover up for like I said yesterday, something.
Was he doing a squat and he rolled? Like, what happened?
No, I mean, I'd have a hard time hurting your toe in a squat. I don't know.
When I just hear sprain, though, dropping a plate on it, you can, this may be just ignorance, you can sprain something by dropping a plate on it, or it would just be.
Oh, you can sprain anything.
Man, I feel like a sprain had to happen on a big toe joint.
You hit that big toe joint just right, it'll pop that little
and big, I guess and if it doesn't break, it's a sprain? Is that what it is?
Like, well, if it hits you in the joint, it pops out of socket or something. That's the strain. Sprain, strain.
Yes.
He's sore.
15 days worth of soreness.
If he dropped a
general soreness,
I'm just gonna say, if he dropped a plate on that big toe, if that's what it is, I would just assume it's broken. And whoever looked at that imaging has seen a sprain, but I think it's broken.
Well, with this crew, you never know.
That's what I'm saying.
Maybe
if it's a drop, if it's a drop plate on a toe. I'm not comfortable with the. Oh yeah, we looked at it and we came up with a sprain.
Well, this is not good.
I need a second and third opinion out of the organization. Maybe whoever's running the Rockets. Maybe whoever's doing. I need another. I need the A's. Somebody else.
Bring in the training staff from the Texans. It's the off season. They got a little time.
We have.
You boys want to double up?
You know, I mean, these guys, and maybe these guys. Now I'll tell you this: imaging when it comes to elbows. Now, this group's got it. They can look and see a Tommy John, but when it comes to limbs and fractures, that's not their strength, right? They look at a hand and they see inflammation.
Shins are tough.
Shins are tough.
Yeah.
Elbows they got. That guy, they got trainers that can eyeball it. Don't even have to look at it.
Don't forget about Bregman's elbow. Bregman had to come out and, wasn't it his elbow? He had to come out and let him know, like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah, they kept throwing it. Yeah. All right. But by the way, the Astros, with that, they did get walked off as the A's. Mm. They now have a 4-game win streak. 1-1 in the ninth. And this was, hey, man, kill me quick and kill me easy. Let me know. There was that swing. There was no, it could be, it might be. Run it down. Does he have a chance? That ball was out. You could have turned your TV off as soon as it was over.
Hey, he threw the bat in there. He knew it when he hit it. It was done.
I mean, that thing was yanked. But you're looking at it from the positive side, right? You saw some things that you liked coming out of that loss.
Well, look, you're not going to win every walk off. You're not going to play. You're not going to hit the ball lights out, considering how many bats you're missing. You're not going to pitch lights out, given that. You know, you've got so many pitchers that aren't available right now. So sometimes you got to take this kind of thing in stride and just keep it moving. So I'm not overly concerned about the game. I think there was two big positives. When I flipped that damn TV on and Paredes was batting, I thought, what are we doing? What the hell happened?
I'm still personally thinking.
I thought he was pinch hitting just to, because I flipped the game on late. I thought he was pinch hitting. They said, oh, he's 0-for-2 with a walk. I thought, well, damn it. I didn't know if he could walk, much less play in a game. So that one, Paredes being in a game, assuming he didn't re-injure anything, which I saw him bat in the seventh or eighth inning, so I don't believe he re-injured anything. That right there is a huge plus. To think that we could get him, we didn't lose him for 2 weeks or 3 weeks or a month with some kind of bad hamstring tear, or calf strain or something. That's a huge plus. And then you in gusto standards, gusto was great again, boys. 5 innings, 1 earned run, 8 Ks, gave us a chance to win a ball game. It's really all you could ask for. The last 2 outings for Ryan Gusto have been really good. And look, I don't expect Ryan Gusto to be a guy that's going to carry you to a ALCS or a World Series. Yeah, but if we're talking about chewing up innings throughout a long regular season, I mean, Gusto is, it seems to be the more stretched out he gets, the better he gets. I mean, six and some odd innings last week and five, and what did he go? Did he just go five this time?
Got five, yeah.
One so, run. I mean, yeah, that's
it feels huge.
Impressive couple of outings from Gusto. So, yeah, there's a couple of positives I can take from what I watched last night.
Yeah, the Gusto one is the a real positive because, he's going to have to go. Ryan Gusto has just now become your third starter, it feels like. I mean, so he's going to have to go with whatever this is with Lance and Spencer Urgetti, his slow start or build up to it. I'm just going to say your first positive, I was shocked to see it. And I'll be honest, boy, I hope he's good.
Like, did you see him on the base pass?
I saw him swing. I did not know. I must have missed when he walked or missed him on the base pass.
Yeah.
But like when I saw him as the DH in there, and I was like, "Boy, I don't know, man. I don't know, boy. I think I may have just. I want to say they know better than us, but I mean, obviously, to me, this is a part of the history of this training staff that makes you feel a little uneasy with what we saw. To think like he can roll back, I know they made it easy and just had him at DH and didn't have him at third base, but that's one I'm watching. To see how long he's going to be, you know, are we going to move to third base? Is this a slow thing? Is he going to play at third tonight? Mm-hmm. And something that I'm really interested to look at. But I certainly did not look at that and think, boy, yeah, he'll miss, you know, the weekend and then come right back and get it going as a DH and they're comfortable with him running bases. That's the part that's weird. I just hope that there is no re-injury, none of that, and that this isn't anything like we've seen before where, you know, it's made worse. You know, and I'm sorry, I don't know how any fans could be in a space where you feel good and trust these cats that they're diagnosing the right thing. So
I didn't have Guillermo or Guillermo.
He made a hell of a catch, though, I tell you that, boy.
I didn't have, when I looked down there and saw that big burly fellow with a beard, I thought, damn, who we got at third base?
He went down there and made a hell of a catch. Check that
over. That's a lot of inertia.
That over the shoulder catch he made. That right there, that show would, that would have, that would have put Paredes back on the IL. He had to run that down, that dive, and that sit down. Yeah, boy. Somebody just checked in. Joel said maybe Lance slipped on some sweaty equipment. I mean, this the freak accident. I just need a little bit more, Joe. Like, we're getting around to a space where I feel like
you. I'm telling you, Lance will tell us.
Lance will. I'm trying Lance to do the best I can.
All right, coming up. Wait till you hear this. Clint Sterner's best case scenario when it comes to the way to use the Texans' two top running backs. You don't want to miss that. That's coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, I can't wait to hear the discussion on this. 713-572-4610, 713-572-4610. You can text in YouTube and Twitch. What's up, Sally? I see you, Damon. And Tyler Milner is getting the people going as well up there.
Always.
Kick Rocks in the building. Hedgehog, I see you. Jump in and participate in this. In this. Yeah.
Wow. Big fan.
That's really like one of the only video games I ever really played.
On the Sega?
Yep.
Sega Genesis, man.
Got it for Christmas. Sonic Hedgehog. Got it for Christmas. And I was like, beat the game. I was like, yeah. I don't think this is for me, Mom. Probably saved her thousands of dollars over the next several years that I didn't have a thing for video games.
The Sega was fun. Sorry about that.
The only game I got.
Only had job I could think
like
of.
She didn't even want me to. I said, no, I don't need you to buy any other games. I was good on it. Wasn't my thing. Weird kid. Now, she spent a lot of money on games to go to and stuff, but not on video games.
Not on bikes.
No, not on bikes either. Saved her some money on bikes too. Yep. But I can swim. All right. You don't want to hear this. I can't wait to hear people's thoughts on this. Clint, you got the best scenario you believe for the Texans and their running back situation, because it is going to be one of the interesting things to see how Nick Caley and company handle this thing after they brought in Nick Chubb and obviously already having Pro Bowler from last year, Joe Mixon. How do you see this as the best case scenario?
I think the best case scenario is obviously you get Chubb of old. You get something even remotely close to the Chubb of old. And he is what would you call here? You got 1A and 1B. You don't have 1 and 2. You got 1A and 1B. You got two backs that you can interchange, right? To me, the best case scenario is the running back Nick Chubb that has ran in a ball control, run-heavy offense really his entire career, downhill between the tackles. The best-case scenario is if that guy is the battering ram early on and gets the bulk of the carries early on, and Joe Mixon is a guy that is available in the obvious passing situations. Now, he's obviously still a running back, but he is available and healthy and fresh in obvious passing situations, which is where he spent the bulk of his career in a pass-first offense in Cincinnati. And if you look at the two backs, they're both capable of doing it all. But I think the best way to use these guys, if you get the Chubb of old, if you get a Chubb that is could legitimately be an RB1, is you use him to be the battering ram. You use Joe Mixon as your more of a third down, more of a relief back early. And both of them excel in those two roles. Yep.
Wow. Really? Joe Mixon, in this case, I know you're not trying to slight him, but I mean,
Not one bit.
I don't know that he fancies himself as the two here.
I wouldn't call it a two. I wouldn't call it a two. I mean,
Are you saying the touches would be similar?
The mentality. Yeah, possibly. I just would make the priority for Joe Mixon is he is in the ball game in obvious passing situations, right? He is a guy that on third down is going to be in the backfield. He's going to carry it. He's going to catch it. He's going to be used in exotic ways. The way he was used last year was fine and dandy, but his ass stayed. He got banged up a couple times, and he wasn't on the field in critical situations in third down when I believe he is the best third down back on his team right now. Now, we'll see what Woody Marks is. Yeah. But he, I mean, he can run circles around Dari Agunbowale in pass protection and catching the ball out of the backfield and the ability to make people miss and punish guys at the end of runs and at the end of catches. And so I just, if you get a Nick Chubb that is anywhere remotely close to the Nick Chubb
and
of that, old,
and that's the big
which
part,
is a long shot.
And that's, I was going to say, that's the big part to make sure you're hearing is if Nick Chubb is the Nick Chubb before the injury.
Yeah. I mean, this is best case scenario with Nick Chubb and Joe Mixon in the same backfield, right? I would imagine they're going to go about it interchangeable, whatever. Whoever's in there gets whatever carries, gets whatever catches. I just think that the best case, you look at where guys spent their career, you look at where guys made their name, and one of them was in a run first, run heavy, downhill road grading offense. And the other one was in a pass happy offense. And I think you've got to, and I've said this a million times. I think if you're going to be a team, or I'll put it to you this way. Houston is a 10-win team, second round of the playoff teams. They ain't even scared an AFC. Let's be honest. Nobody's even thought that they'd make a run to an AFC. Nobody thought that they'd make a run to a Super Bowl. If you want to put yourself in position to do that thing, you got to have more than one weapon in the backfield. You've got to have guys that can make plays on third down. You got to have big-bodied players that can pass protect. You got to have guys that threaten defenses, right? I think the best-case scenario, assuming everybody's healthy and everybody's the best version of themselves, would be Chubb downhill early, again, getting the bulk of the carries, and then Mixon is your third down, critical situation, spread offense, anytime you want to go tempo, anytime you want to speed things up. And down the stretch, he's a guy that you've got fresh when you need him. So I think that would be ideal, perfect case scenario. And I don't mean, again, this is a 1A, 1B. I don't think Mixon would not like it.
I think he would. I don't know how much he would love it. I still look at this, even the best case, because I, the best case, I'm getting what you're saying, if you're getting the best of Nick Chubb, and the best of Mixon.
Yep.
I'm with you. I think Joe, third down, to me, yes, he needs to be in the passing game much more. I think they need to explore that part of the game for him. But I still think Joe right now, evidence, we get new evidence, is different. I would still say Joe Mixon should, without a shadow of a doubt right now, be the one to get more touches. Like that, when I look at these two, I think obviously Nick Chubb needs to be involved so Joe Mixon's not the only person getting touches like he was last year. I don't mean just the only, like, no, I mean these guys are both kind of getting up there and you want to save them. But I still think, like, in the running game, game in, game out, Joe Mixon should be the guy that's more featured.
Yeah, look, I don't think you can dictate. The problem is you can't dictate that, right? You don't know in the first and second quarter if in the fourth quarter you're going to need to be, you know, just air raid. You're going to need to be slinging the leather off the ball. You don't know if in the fourth quarter you're going to need a 4-minute offense. All I'm saying is I think the best role for both of these guys, the best role for the team is, sure, if you have them both healthy the entire game, that's great, or both fresh the entire game, that's great. But if you're going to go beyond just, hey, we're going to split carries, I think Joe Mixon, I would rather have Joe Mixon in the game in the fourth quarter in 2-minute situations when we got to spread this thing out and throw it. And I would rather have, like, you don't know when that's going to happen, right? And so you got to prepare for those kind of scenarios. If I get to the fourth quarter and I need a 4-minute offense, I got Joe and Nick, we can bang them, you know, downhill and chew the clock. If I get into a situation where I got to throw it, yeah, both of them would be fine. Both of them can pass protect, but I think Joe is the better pass catcher of the football and a bigger weapon out of the backfield in those obvious passing situations. And he's obviously comfortable doing it because that's the way he cut his teeth in the NFL and built his name in the NFL. So, yeah, I would like to think that you go into a game in a season and go, hey, we got 17 games and we're going to split these carries down the middle. But unfortunately, like, I don't think the Texans planned on having Dari Agunbowale as third down back in critical situations last year.
Touches, which keep include catches and everything. I still think that Joe should be the cut ahead for me. All right, coming up, more news on kind of the most pressing sports story happening here in Houston. We'll let you know what that is coming up next.
Live from the Mokarum Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Text line coming through as I said, yeah, but not a video gamer. Text line coming through. Damn show, no Mortal Kombat. I play that at the arcade a little bit.
Finish
it. Yeah, a little Liu Kang action. Ron had to have been the lamest kid on the block. Couldn't ride his bike to his friend's house to play video games. Wow. Well, I walked and we played basketball outside. Went swimming. Did other things. My favorite. You didn't do much as a kid. No wonder you're fat. Because I...
It's someone who's angry with their own life wife.
Listen to the logic. I told you I didn't play video games. No wonder you're fat.
Because you didn't sit around and eat potato chips and play video games.
Is that my boy, Ron?
Damn it! Clint!
If you'd have just done that, man.
Tyler, if I'd have just sat on my ass and played Halo or whatever games there were, I'd have been 190.
You'd have been tea in there. You probably had a little more ass. More ass than tea, though.
Oh, man.
Yeah, the no ass life.
That's the deal. So all of you in good shape play video games the whole time. Damn. Missed it. Instead of my ass out there playing until I had to come in.
Damn legs falling off.
Playing those 4 years of high school football, going to 2-a-days every day, I'll be damned.
I should have just set
my ass and played. By the way, I'll be honest with you, Tyler, I've been stalling in my head. I just cannot pull video games from the era of the time in which I would have been playing video games.
You're on the right track with the Sega Genesis.
Halo seems to still be a little further into. I'm talking about the
that was
range.
More my time.
Yeah, I was gonna say from when I was like in like middle school to high school.
PlayStation, man.
And we're talking. '96, '90. Yeah, PlayStation. That came out.
Jet
what games?
Moto.
You're always
Madden. I'm sure Madden.
NBA 2K.
What other games were they?
Are we talking 2K? PlayStation? That's NBA, oh, that's someone, what we got to know to start.
NBA Jams. That was a big one. That was a good one.
PlayStation 1. There was like a Jet Moto. There was a Crash Bandicoot. There was Spyro the Dragon.
Crash must have came with the game. I may have played Crash a time or two.
I was up there walking that mall trying to get some ass, to be honest, which is what I was doing.
Hmm. What else would you mind?
Post up right in front of that old
He was up there getting cardio. He was hunting, getting cardio,
Then go there and move it to the movie theater and stand out there till those cops told us to leave.
Shouldn't have been getting them steps in, man. Should have just been sitting down eating, so drinking sodas and eating chocolate, man, playing video games.
Resident Evil.
I remember that one, too. I mean, I do remember that one.
I don't remember any of that.
Ooh, MLB Slugfest. That one was awesome because you could hit each other on the base pass. You could, like, hit the crap out of somebody and try to jar the ball loose. It was awesome.
I didn't get that one. Resident Evil, was that Lara Croft or that Tomb Raider?
That's a good one. Yeah.
I feel like our boss right now is rattling them off.
Oh, ain't no doubt. I guarantee you.
Metal Gear?
Park Dog spent some time in front of that.
Twisted Game Metal. Right,
Final Fantasy, Resident Evil 2, you thought?
Gran Turismo.
But
Park strikes me as
Tony Hawk's Pro Skater.
Ooh, I haven't seen Park real mad, I don't think. Like mad. I've seen him shook. I don't think I've seen him
Boss
mad.
Man?
Yeah, I've seen him shook. I don't know if I've seen him mad. Like I bet there's a time when he would fire that remote control at the wall or the TV.
Oh,
or something.
No doubt.
Like I bet he got madder than a hornet at the game.
My old brother used to do that.
Tekken? I've seen that at the video. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, those are good.
Wasn't bad. Text line, I'd pay good money to see Ron rounding second base in Little League.
I'm telling you, Ron, you miss Ron. Next time you see Ron out, I want you to watch Ron walk.
Sweet feet.
And them little ankles. Big man with sweet feet. There's no question. He's got that big.
Oh, yeah.
There's no doubt.
And I just want to let you know, I ain't just been overweight since I was
He ain't been 297 playing high school baseball around in second. Even that would have been cool. That would have been great. Could you imagine
24 Ron, ounces and
could you imagine if Ron was hitting about 410 bombs in the baseball uniform around in second base going for three?
Oh man.
That would have been great.
I was always Third base.
You got to get me some old film, man. I got to see. I bet you them feet were quicker than you get out.
Oh, man. Get you a deal with tough acting. Spin
move on the pass rush?
Oh, no question.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
what was Snacks' real name?
Snacks?
Spin move on the pass rush, man.
Big fella I played in Europe with. I think it was Scotland.
I knew a dog named
Snacks. I can't remember. He played at, gosh, I can't remember. And he wasn't he was actually a smaller D lineman. But he was a heavier set guy with them little ankles and could flat get it. Son.
I would get in trouble because I'm rushing the passer.
Ron's got some juice to him.
No, you just that was a great swim move, but you just left the entire gap.
Joe Mixon could have drove a Mack truck through that A gap.
But it's second down and two. I can hear Coach Mo. Get over here. Let me rush that passer, though, baby.
It's second down and two. What are you doing rushing the passer? They run the wishbone, son.
Oh, yeah, man.
Get my boy wrong.
Did you see that swim, though, Coach? That swim move was big time.
You remember, I think I told you. Remember Tony Temple? Boy, he had me in the hole one time. It just absolutely
Tony.
Embarrassed me when he was at Rockhurst High School. Got me to where I tried to stick my foot out and trip him. Yeah. I had that. I told you I thought I was Corey Simon. So I had that neck. I had that. The
big old
the
donut
flat,
roll.
The flat one, like Corey Simon. Oh, yeah. That's it's my great. Favorite position to watch.
I
was out
there. I got to get some more. We got to get some more football photos.
I'll find some. Well, yeah. I went bad. Someone said Ron probably looked like Evan Gattis getting them 11 triples in the season.
Not the janitor.
I'd push the limit. I told you when my eighth grade baseball career ended, playing a little fall ball with the Raytown Panthers. But I also was in my freshman year of high school football, two-a-days at the same time. I just had a two-a-day practice. And I came around. I tried to score from a second on it. And I rounded third base. It cramped, just grabbed me. And I went down, man.
Something bad, man.
In between third
somebody
home.
Somebody shot Ryan from the old press box.
And wow. I got tagged in the crawl to try to get back to third base.
I'm jumped up.
Got tagged out. And that was it.
That's enough.
I said, I can't even move. There ain't enough water for me to drink out here. I'm cramping up.
And you don't like bananas.
I told you that. I've had some running for some greats. Old Brandon Lloyd, that man gave me that ride home. I don't know if I'd be here today. If Brandon Lloyd didn't see me out there and say, hey, man, why don't you throw this in the back of the car, man? You're struggling. Yeah. She did. Yeah, that was when Teresa. You gonna ride this bike? I don't know how you gonna get. I don't know how you gonna get up to that practice. But you got a bike. I'm not taking you where you can walk.
Know how that story ended?
I was walking alongside that baby.
Brandon Lloyd scooped you up.
The walk there was fine. It was when I had. I don't know about y'all first two-a-days. It was a breeze to you, sure.
No, Mom never let me play football.
That freshman year, I had a cramp hit me right in the stomach and in the bottom of the foot. I had never done any kind of conditioning like that in my life. That's why I told you we out there at camp. I'm like, man, this practice looks a lot easier than the practice that I went through in high school.
There ain't no doubt about that.
There ain't no finish to conditioning.
Nope.
Oh my God, man! I went to them and I had cramps.
When the Texans finished practice, me and Ron were going to the car, and some players were leaving and walking across. Ron said, "They don't no conditioning after practice anymore."
Ain't no conditioning anymore after practice.
No horses.
I was sitting there. Hey,
gassers.
Hey, let me tell you, dog. I'm sitting there every day, man. I'm sitting there looking at that, understanding the time. You know, in your mind, you know. All right, we got stretches. Then we got individual. Then we come together for a little team. Then we got special teams. Then we got an individual again. Then we have another team. And that second team, you know what's coming after it. Conditioning.
So you started prepping for it.
Yes. We had 5 150s on Mondays, and linemen had to be in at a certain point. And if everybody didn't get in, we had to run them over. Oh, my God. It was hell.
5 150s. Over, back over?
Yeah, around like it was 150 yards. We had to run it, and we had to – so in line, end zone and then down the field, down 100. And we had – I think linemen, I remember we had to do it in 22 seconds. And we knew Jeff Franklin wasn't going to get there.
Oh, Jeff.
I think he's selling real estate now, but shout out to Jeff Franklin.
He's probably doing all right.
commercial.
Probably went home and started playing video games, and now he's real skinny.
Yeah, he is. No, he's not. Yeah, he's not.
Went on that video game diet.
No, he's not. All right. OTA's mandatory minicamp is over. Now we're heading into training camp, and the real thing gets started. And just kind of want to re-up. Is the number one question we had still the same with the Texans? We'll discuss that coming up next.